publicly acknowledged it had tested a hydrogen bomb. And in 2017, actor, comic, and longtime telethon host Jerry Lewis died of heart disease in Las Vegas at the age of 91. And with that, that's going to do it for us today. You've been listening to International Edition on The Voice of America, and on behalf of our producer, Nadia Taha, engineer Thomas Blondet, and managing editor, Paul Alexander, thank you very much for listening. You'll find in-depth coverage of world events and news at the VOA News website. And don't forget, with our mobile app, you can download our stories and take them with you anytime, day or night. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Make it a great day.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou. Welcome to Health Chat. A cataract is a clouding of the normally clear lens of your eye. For people who have cataracts, seeing through cloudy lenses is a bit like looking through a frosty or fogged up window. Clouded vision caused by cataracts can make it more difficult to read, drive a car, especially at night, or see the expression on a friend's face or your loved one. So get this, there is a lady who has been doing a lot of work in Namibia to help people with cataracts and other conditions, and her work expands beyond her country. Her name is Dr. Helena Dume, and today we have an exclusive interview with the ophthalmologist and a philanthropist from Namibia. Dr. Dume, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lenore. Thank you so much. It's an honor and feel very humble to be interviewed by VOA today.
It is our pleasure to have you. You're doing such tremendous work in helping people see better. And I wanted to talk about the work that you do, not only with cataracts, but just in general, some of the common issues that you see your patients confronted with. So cataracts is one of the main culprits of blindness in Namibia, a country of barely 2 million people. So talk to us about how the type of impact you're seeing cataract having on people. But maybe before we do that, talk to us a little bit more about what a cataract is.
Yeah, as you said correctly, that the cataract is the clouding of the clear crystalline lens. And as we grow older, we end up having cataract. There is also cataract that you get if you have a trauma to your eye. If some children are born with cataract, what we call congenital cataract, there are also other diseases that lead to the early formation of cataract, things like diabetes is one of them, and even some medication like high doses of steroids for a long term will also bring you cataract.
Okay.
In short, that is cataract.
That is cataracts. So what I understand also from your explanation is the fact that people can develop it and some people are born with it. But
yeah,
in all the commonality, can we say that whether you are born with it or you develop it, cataract is treatable?
Yeah, it is treatable.
Okay.
It's a normally 15-minute operation, and one gets artificial lens, and it is done.
Even for those who are born with it?
Even for those who are born with it, yes.
Okay.
They all get lenses.
Okay. So talk to us about the incidence of cataract now in your country, and perhaps Africa, if you may.
Yeah, the trend, I mean, what you see in Namibia is what you see in the rest of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact of cataract is terrible. There are so many people who are going blind because of cataract. Mm-hmm. The thing is that, for example, in Namibia, when I came back from studies, people never even complain about being blind or whatever. or not seeing, because it was acceptable. It was an acceptable situation that if you get old, you get cataract, you go blind, and that is normal.
Mm.
And there's nothing that could be done. And that's why also when I came back, I went to one region in Namibia, northeast, on the borders with Angola.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to village screening patients. And we called them, we went to collect patients from many regions. We went on to the radio because all the old people are having radios almost, saying that there are eye doctors, anyone with eye problem, everyone who cannot see, they should come also to the hospital. They came, so many of them came. We screened, we booked more than 200 patients for operation. But almost 80, after a month when we went back, now we gave them the dates that we are going to come on this date, and everybody who was told to come for operation should come. We have booked more than 200 patients, but almost 80 came.
Wow.
Because now it went around the villages, they were telling each other, where have you had a person operating on an eye? It was unheard of.
Mm.
And if you go there, she might even damage your eye. Even though the eye is blind, even though they haven't been seen for 5-10 years, for them still, that means that how can one operate on an eye? It was unheard of. Anyway, those 80 that came, we did operation, and all of them were totally blind. And some of them have been blind for so many years. We did the operation. The following day, during the run, we took off the eye patch, and they couldn't believe it. Suddenly, they started seeing. It was jubilation. It was jumping. It was ululating. They were discharged. They went back home to their various villages, and people couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And the following year, when we went back to that same region, we couldn't control the crowd. Everybody wanted to come. So the word spread like wildfire all over the place, and they came, even patients from Angola, they crossed the river to come to Namibia
Wow.
to have their eyes operated. And in short, that's how it is. The other thing is also we don't have many doctors. The manpower is just an ophthalmologist to go out to do this work. And the few that you have, they are concentrated in cities.
Yes.
So that's why we have to go where the people need the help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Namibia is a very big country with almost 2.5 million people, and the distances are so long. And you bring these old people to the city. Some of them have never seen a flushing toilet, and then they are blind. It's very cumbersome, so we have to take the service to the people where it is needed. And that is what we have been doing with my team.
That's great. That's great. So what do you see is the biggest misunderstanding about cataract that you come across?
Like I said at the beginning, that was a misunderstanding. It was a belief that if you get old, you get blind, you go
okay.
blind, finish,
okay.
there's nothing that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the problem that I faced at the beginning, but it is no more. People are really coming out to seeking for this help.
So if people get to the point where they believe that getting old, you become blind, and does it mean that everyone is prone to developing cataract with age? Is everyone susceptible to having a cataract?
Yeah, when all of us, if we get older one day, we might end up having cataract also.
Oh. So is there a way
like
to prevent it?
It's like almost like getting old and getting wrinkles.
Oh. That's a good way of putting it. It's like getting wrinkles. So it's the wrinkle of the eye.
Yeah, the wrinkles of the eye, maybe.
Oh,
let's
dear.
Put it that way.
Wow, that's amazing. I never thought about it like that. So it really means that a lot of people most people will develop a cataract.
Exactly. Most of us will develop cataract. And for us, who in cities and educated. I mean, the moment you see that glare, you can't see well, you run immediately to the doctor.
So, Dr. Ndube, do we know what causes cataract?
The cause of cataract is the change in the crystalline lens itself.
Mm-hmm.
It gets white, it gets cloudy, protein changes and all that. It's exactly the way I said it. It's like you are asking what causes the wrinkles.
Okay. All right.
I can put it simple like that. It's like what causes the wrinkles.
Okay, old age, I guess.
Yeah. So old age, but sometimes also too much sunlight, like I told you. Also too much sunlight.
Okay.
Because cataract to develop early and fast, like trauma, if you are hit on the eye or something like that, it might also cause cataract. Some of the systemic medications that you take, especially steroids, and other diseases like diabetes, you get cataract early.
Okay. Is there a genetic predisposition or so?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a genetic predisposition for some people? Is it genetically linked in some cases?
In some cases, I wouldn't really say. Maybe some genetic diseases that affect eyes. It's a combination of disease that will affect the eyes that might also lead to cataract, yes.
Okay.
In some people, but not everyone.
And
very few, actually.
Okay. And can you kind of take us through one more time some of the telltale signs, like when does someone start thinking to see the doctor? I know you mentioned cloudy, something in your eyes, but... I just wanted to be clear on this.
Yeah, it's normal. It's really only when you start seeing that the vision is not the way it used to be, and then you see blurred. It's like you are looking through a small screen.
Okay.
Everything is blurred. You can't see very well. That's when you go to the doctor. But also the other thing. The blindness also is refractive error. It's refractive errors. Maybe you just need glasses.
I was going to ask that because
exactly.
I was going
maybe
to ask
just,
you.
You just need glasses.
Yes.
You don't really have cataracts.
Yes. Because
yeah,
I was going to ask.
Also, refractive errors are also another cause of blindness in Africa.
Reflective.
Because people cannot afford the glasses. That is another thing also.
How do you call that? Reflective?
Refractive errors.
Refractive
that, for example,
errors.
Maybe the eye is short or long and
yes.
You can't see well. And especially in old people where we say presbyopia, that they cannot see well, near vision is blurred, and myopia, when you far you can't see and you need glasses, the changes of the cornea, astigmatism, that also causes blurred vision, distorted vision.
Mm.
But that can be easily corrected with glasses.
Okay. Okay. Mm. I guess the thing that's fascinating with cataract is the fact that it's reversible, but then so many people ignore it and so many people live in blindness, you know?
Yeah, they don't really... You cannot really say they ignore it. They know that there's no help.
Mm-hmm.
I told you in the rural areas, like when I came, they didn't know anything else.
So
it was just acceptable that you go old, you get your cataract, or anybody get cataract, you just go silently blind.
So this speaks
so
to the fact that...
we have to create awareness.
Yeah, I was going to say, this speaks to the fact that there is a need for more awareness.
Yeah, that's what we have to go and sell our services to the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And tell them nobody should go blind. If you are old, you can't see well, you go to your nearest hospital, you get an examination if it is cataract, and then we do the operation.
So is it something, the operation, I know you offer it for free, but
yes.
in a normal, quote-unquote, in the your regular hospital setting. If someone wants to get a cataract surgery, is it an expensive surgery?
No. In Namibia, everything is taken care of by the government.
Okay.
And everyone, if you reach the age of 60, they are paid, you become a pensioner.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to government hospitals, you don't pay anything. You get everything for free.
Okay.
And otherwise, the population, you pay like 30 Namibian dollars, maybe it is $3 or $2 for treatment.
Okay. All right.
Government hospitals.
Okay. Dr. Ndume, we're going to take a short break and we will continue our discussion in a moment. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr.
Okay.
Elena Ndume, ophthalmologist and philanthropist from Namibia. We'll be right back.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Welcome back to Health Chat. If you're just joining us, we are discussing this evening cataract and we will also look at other eye conditions. And our special guest is Dr. Helena Ndume. She's an ophthalmologist from Namibia, also an award winner. She has done a lot of work in philanthropy, helping people see better through free surgery that she is offering. So Dr. Ndume, I know that now you helped us to understand cataract and the fact that it is reversible. So people should really look to getting help when they start having issues with their eyes, seeing not as well as they used to, or somebody is going blind in the home. It may not be that the person is supposed to be blind. It may be that it's a cataract that is developing and with just a simple surgery that could be reversed. So now talk to us about why you felt the need to start your charity work.
Yeah, I felt the need to start my charity work because wherever you, when I came back home, especially when I did my, when I started my with my internship first, you could see that people have eye problem and they don't even say that they complain about it. They'll just say my chest or I have a cough or whatever. And definitely there was, I saw that there was lack of information here. There was, people were unnecessarily going blind. I have to start doing something.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing also what drove me also to change other people's lives. It also, my life was also changed by other people. I left Namibia during the war, fighting for the independence of Namibia, during the apartheid, when Namibia was still colonized by South Africa. And we went into exile under the wing of SWAPO, SWAPO, which stands for Southwest Africa. Namibia was called Southwest Africa by then.
Mm-hmm.
Southwest Africa People's Organization. It's just like also other liberation movements like ANC of Nelson Mandela. We were all in exile in Angola, Zambia, Tanzania, all over the place. So when I left the country, I was 15 years old, went into exile. So many young people left the country because the young people were demonstrating against apartheid education, which was offered to the black people, and went outside. But then SWAPO had so many thousands of these young people. SWAPO appealed to the United Nations and Commonwealth and other African countries that we have all these many kids. Can you maybe at the OAU, can you then maybe help us so that some of these young people can come to your country to pursue their secondary school? So that's how I ended up in the Gambia to do my secondary school. After secondary school, spending 5 years in the Gambia, came back to the camps in Angola because that's where the refugee camps and the SWAPO bases were. I spent 1 year in the camps and I was sent again to Germany to the university to do medicine. And that's also where I did my specialization in ophthalmology. So all over here, all wherever I went, it was other people helping you to get education so that if Namibia gets independence one day, that you can go back home to start building your country, helping in the hospitals and everything. And that is why I came back also. That was the reason why I say I have to give back, because I was also given.
Mm.
And that's how I started this blindness prevention program, going to the villages and offering free cataract with the help of organizations like Surgical Eye Expedition. But when I finished my specialization in Germany, I was scared to come back home. I said, I'm coming from high tech. If I go to the villages, how am I going to manage?
Yes.
And so I decided to go to India.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in India for 6 months. And I came to see some pathology, eye diseases that I never saw when I was in Europe. And the conditions definitely were just like at home. And that's why when I came back from India, coming back to Namibia, it wasn't really difficult to adapt.
Okay.
And even when I was in India, we will go out and do this eye camp. And then I said, wow, this is also what I'm going to do at home. And I went then in 1995, I went to the American Academy of Ophthalmology Conference. It was in Atlanta. It is the biggest eye gathering, eye conference, where all experts from all over the world, ophthalmologists, come and meet. And it is where I met the people from SEE International. And I was passing at their booth and in the exhibition hall, and I was looking and said, where are they? Justin, where are you from? I said, I'm from Namibia. Oh, yeah, we go to different countries helping in the fight against preventable blindness, especially cataracts. We can come to Namibia. These are our brochures and everything. You can take some. And then I said, no, I'm still a student. I'm still in Germany. He said, no, whenever you finish,
mm-hmm.
you let us know.
Okay, so you made good contact
there. That's exactly
what
I did. Mm-hmm. And they came, and since then until today, we have been working together with Sea International.
Okay, so they provide...
They are based in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm. And so how does the collaboration work? They come with expertise and equipment, or...?
Yeah, they bring expertise, equipment, medication, the lenses, everything that is needed for eye operation.
And how do you... Your work right now is focused in Namibia. Do you plan on expanding to other countries?
I did. I came in Congo.
Oh, okay.
And I'm still going to Congo now next month. There is this Biamba Marie Mutombo. Dikembe Mutombo built such a big hospital.
Yes.
In Congo. And he just built it in the middle of the slums, really bringing service to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he heard about Sea International and to come and help.
Mm-hmm.
And Sea International, they are the one who called and said that there is this. Have you heard about this basketballer called Dikembe Mutombo? I say, yeah, when I was at secondary school, when I was at university, yes, we used to watch him playing this basketball, blocking the ball. But yeah, he built the hospital and he wants us to go and help.
Oh, that's
eye operation, and you are the only person who really came to our mind. I said, no, no problem. So we went there 3 years ago, and we did operations. Now we are going back again this year. I did in Angola and Zimbabwe and Zimbabwe also.
So do you have to be invited by someone locally for you to go?
Other colleagues here will invite you.
So,
but here, like in Congo, we were invited by
Dikembe
at his hospital.
So in a case
in Angola,
in a case like this, when you are invited by someone local, what do they provide? They provide the community and you bring everything, or do they have to contribute something?
Yeah, they bring the community and all the supply where Sea International bring all the supply.
Okay.
And then we go there.
Okay.
In the case with Angola, these people are one. Namibia and Angola, the people in the borders are one. It's like we speak the same language. When it goes on to the radio that the eye doctors are coming, people in Angola can also hear it. And they just cross the borders and come.
Hmm.
And one day I was telling my president that I have a problem with these people from Angola who just come. And many of them are so blind, you can't just tell them, go back, you're not Namibian.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
So the problem you were having is because of the crowd.
Yeah.
So okay.
And then my president just said, you know, I will talk to the president of Angola so that we can go there. You can go there with your team and help them there. And that is exactly what happened, and that's how we have been going to Angola to go and help.
Okay. So there was a collaboration there from at the state level. That's great.
Yeah.
So then, Dr. Dube, when you look to the future with the work that you've been doing, what is next for you? What do you hope to see, or what is on your agenda?
What is on my agenda is to see Namibia becoming cataract free. Is to see that we have educated we have more young doctors coming up specialized in ophthalmology. You know, it's another thing knowing how to do cataract, but you also have to teach other people to do it.
Mm.
So that one day if you are no more there, there are people who will continue with the program so that Namibia can become a cataract-free country.
Okay. That's fantastic. Dr. Ndube, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you all the best in your work.
Thank you so much, Lizzie. It was nice talking to you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And thanks to all of you, our listeners across Africa and around the world, for joining in today for this edition of Health Chat. For more on today's topic, check us out online at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. You can also find out more about